Day and happy Labor Day. I hope that you had a nice time at the beach. I'm certain that you did with Flory and Anne. And actually, I didn't know you had gone until I got your tape. You said that Uncle and Alice made a tape too, but that hasn't arrived yet, probably tomorrow, even though you might have mailed it earlier. How I know that, well, I figured you must have gone someplace, was I tried calling you to wish you a happy anniversary. In fact, I'll try again some night this week, and probably we'll get you even before you get this tape to say happy anniversary. And I kept thinking it was 44 years. Don't ask me why. But anyhow, we'll have to have a party when I get home. I just was kind of confused down the years. I hope the flowers arrived all right and weren't dead. I guess maybe if Larry saw you went there, he might have given them to Alice or something like that. But so I just wanted to be sure and say again, I hope you had a nice anniversary, and I'm glad that you were able to go away. And before I forget, Dad, again you mentioned about how high those kids were when they dived, or when they dove off the ship. I think probably as high as Alice's porch. I went out and looked the other day. I didn't have any kind of way or means of measuring. So I went out and took a good look, and that's what it looked like to me. Let's see, as far as news is concerned, I'm on call today, and I hate to say I'm not working yet because that's, you know, what'll happen. I'll get called down. But I did work this morning, but things have been relatively quiet. I had a kind of interesting day yesterday. I got to go off the ship, which is a big deal, and for me especially. Now, they do have these trips that some of the girls go to Hue and Quang Tri and different places, that to different military outposts. And usually I'm working and never have a chance to go. I don't say this complainingly. I just, you know, as a matter of fact. But they were going to have one that left at 4 o'clock yesterday, and the chief nurse asked me and one of the other operating nurses if we'd like to go. And, of course, we jumped at the chance. And it meant going off the ship by chopper. And going over to, I didn't even know where it was, but it turned out to be Quang Tri. Let me check this. So we, about 4 o'clock, they called flight quarters, and we all went down out there, you know, in our uniforms and everything. And they had a great big, what they call a 46, a chopper. I guess you could probably fit 20, 25 people in there, probably more if you were pressured. And it's not a very fancy chopper. It's not like the Huey, the one that I flew to, Da Nang that time. And anyhow, I got out, and we all got in. There were 6 nurses and 2 doctors, Captain Garrett, my chief of surgery, and Dr. Bourne, and then Kathy went along too, the Red Cross girl, and other OI nurse, Ginny, and Miss Cornelius, and Mary Catherine Mitchell. And it was the biggest old thing you ever saw in your life, and noisy and windy, because it was a stripped down type thing, because this is the type of chopper that brings in medevacs all the time. And they gave us earphones, big things that looked almost like radio type earphones when we first left, for 2 reasons. Partly to keep our hats on and keep us from being blown out. We were tied in, you know, with safety belts and everything, but it was so windy there were no windows, and you know, right up there it's really something. And of course it was an armed chopper. They had 2 machine gun riders, and I couldn't see much of Vietnam flying over it because it was so windy that if you went to turn your head, you almost got blown right, your head almost got blown back, you know. So we sort of sat there huddled until we landed in what looked almost like the middle of a desert, with except they had tents and hooches all over the place. Well, a hooch is sort of a house. It's built up off the ground a little bit, and not very much, and it's where the guys live, and usually they're sandbagged. So we got up and got out, and there were people there waiting to meet us, about 4 jeeps, and the colonel of the base was there. What it was 3 squadrons and helicopter squadrons, and they wanted to, they are the fellows that also, they do lots of things. They go in as forward observers and call in fire, you know, airstrikes. And just as we got there, we saw them bombing a site about 3 miles away, and you could see the bomb fall and explode and the airplane leave. And then we Well, anyhow, that's sort of a side note. We got into the jeeps, as I say, and it was all just like driving in the desert. There were some roads, but all along the way, there were just all the Marines were standing out of the side of the hooches, just looking at us. It's sort of like being in a parade on St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, we were waving like you do when you're in a parade. It's all I could think of. Because we were the first American women to ever have come to the base, and they had, in fact, it had been a long time since most of them had seen any women at all. So needless to say, we were very popular. And when we got to the, what they had done was they had asked the captain of the ship, Captain Drew, if they could have some of us out to dinner some night, as sort of a treat for them, I guess, and for us too. And they were anxious to have us all out. And because they fly out here so much and never get to meet anybody or see any of the faces. So what they did was put two nurses at each squadron table. It was three squadrons. And we went into what was a hooch. It was a club made of plywood and all. And, you know, back home, you wouldn't think anything of it at all because it really wasn't the most attractive place in the world. But they did it all themselves, and it really looked pretty good. They had tables and chairs, long tables. Everybody sits sort of like at a banquet style. And they had a bar. And everything was screened in. There's no windows because, of course, glass shatters when they're under attack. And it's so hot that it doesn't matter anyway. And they have winds most of the time of 40 knots. In that sand, you can imagine what it's like. And, of course, all the hooches are sandbagged. It was dark. Well, by the time I came home, it was dark, and I didn't get any pictures going out. I got two pictures, one in front of me in front of a poster that says, spend your summer vacation in Vietnam, fly Eastern Airlines or something, or fly Far Eastern Airlines. That'll show some soldier with a weapon in his hand. And then I took another picture of some of the kids. I took it flash, but I don't think it came out. I think it was too dark. But we'll see. And they had some artificial greenery that they purchased someplace. Somebody must have sent them someplace around. And they had the head of one squadron to indicate that he was in charge. And they had a big sign that said, Welcome Nurses, which Kathleen confiscated. But I don't see it in the room anyplace, so I don't know if she's planning on putting it up or not. Oh, yeah, it's up there. And then they had it was a piece of board covered with fuchsia silk. God knows where they got that. And they have, because they were all in their flight suits and greens and everything, there were 177 of them, and they all turned out to see the nurses. Really, it certainly was, you know, very flattering, but almost rather sad. But and they even built a head for us, and they were kidding. They said, you should have seen the colonel. He was out there sawing boards, too. And I must tell you about the head because, Mother, I'm sure you know, I made a trip down there. I couldn't let that go by, but they had a plywood shed, what they call a four-seater, down by the river, down by the perimeter, and they had big sign painted on it, ladies. They built this for this one occasion, and when you go down there and you open up the door, of course there's no lock or anything, but you didn't have to worry because there was a kid sitting there with a machine gun on the top of a jeep. When you went inside, there were four, it was built sort of like chairs, you know. You had to sort of step up, one step up, and then there was boards with four holes cut out, and they even had seat covers, you know, that you'd pull down, and underneath it was a barrel. I checked the whole thing out quite thoroughly, and I got a kick out of it, really. I thought, you know, to go through all that trouble. Well, of course, they had drinks, anything that you wanted. And then dinner, they had dehydrated shrimp. When I get home, I'm not going to know what a fresh shrimp tastes like because everything out here is dehydrated shrimps, and they're not bad. They soak them in water, they blow up, you know. And they had steaks, which were terrible. But, I mean, truly they were, but they tasted good to us, and we weren't complaining, and it was so nice to them. They cooked them outside because they had no inside cooking facilities, and they were well seasoned with salt. So that as you chewed, you had the grit in your teeth. And they were all extremely well done. I don't know what kind of shape the cook was in when he was cooking. But as I said, nobody complained. I think they had carrots and olives and things like that. They don't eat as well as we do on the ship, but they eat well. And they were so pleased at their cookout and all. And it really was very, very nice. I must admit that we were all quite touched by it. And then we had, and as we sat and ate and we talked to different ones, one of them got an announcement that his wife had a baby girl. And as we were sitting there, you know, if a pilot, a chopper pilot came in off a mission, then they all gave him a cheer. And this is kind of a morbid thing because they have a very high percentage of losses. In fact, they had lost two out on the ship, one to a bad brain injury and the other one died. The one bad brain injury will probably never come back, but, and of course the one that died won't. But they lose one out of 10, so out of 177, that's about 17, I guess, isn't it? So, it's kind of a, as I said, they were a little bit morbid. If my mathematics is wrong, Dad, don't tell me about it on the next tape. But anyhow, they do it in a joking way. I guess they just about have to. And they sang their song, which is, again, was a very morbid song, Come to Vietnam and Get Killed. And but it has a very rousing tune, you know, and everybody laughed hysterically, all except us. And I guess we didn't think it was very funny. And one of the lines was something to the effect of Mother and father, send your boy to Vietnam, be the first one on the block to have a son come home in a box, and a very morbid song. But they thought it was funny. But I guess they have to live this way, otherwise it would be, you know, it would really be terribly upsetting. But we did enjoy it, as I said. And I think that they enjoyed having us. And then it's something like something out of a Class B movie, really. At 8 o'clock, a message came in. We were about 400 yards from the river, and right across the river was Viet Cong territory. And about 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, they were going to be able to keep us till 10 o'clock. Can you imagine? At about 8 o'clock, a message came in, and it said that they expected to be under attack within a short period of time, and the Viet Cong, you know, on the other side. How far did I tell you they were? As I say, 400 yards, I think it was, the river was 20 yards or something, but they were 20 yards away, the river was, and that they were on the other side of the river, and the Viet Cong planned an attack, and planned a rocket attack. Oh, once it started, of course,